Now run, Barry, run!
As a bat signal, that's your... Oh, shh, sorry. That's your signal. That means we have to go now.
Hello and welcome to the Arkham Case Files, where the inmates run the asylum. I'm Darren.
I'm Jason.
I'm Ian.
And for this episode, we're going to be looking at something a little bit different. Jason and Ian are going to be talking through some of their most recent games on TTS and how that's been developing. You guys have actually been trying out something new with some homebrew rules that were put together. So who was it that actually put those together, Jason?
That was Finian. He put together a homebrew speed force and a homebrew magic rules, just trying to convert over second edition stuff to third and give some new life to the game.
Yeah.
So once Jason and Ian have talked about their TTS games, we'll touch on what the new rules are like and how they worked in second and what they work like now. And then we'll end on a very special model that dropped as part of Black Friday. But without any more to be said, I'll pass it over to Jason and Ian to talk about their games on TTS.
Yeah, so as you guys have known, because we talked about it last time, the Bat-tober League happened. That has officially ended with Ian and Richard having the final game. Yep. Talk about that later, but that was a long, close game that I watched the whole thing of. Do not recommend watching TTS games of Batman. It's just long, but there's a lot of planning, and you can really see them in their mindset of top table. Of course, I think I said a few things that made them have to like redo activations. Yeah. So that was fun.
We'll go into that. I played TTS mm-hmm. because it's a difference of like TTS being able to see tokens on the table or tokens somewhere, so you get reminded of things, and then. Things just being there, that's kind of hard to remember the next turn.
Yeah. But then other than that, I played a game with Finian. I don't remember if I ever talked about it last time, but there was a game with Rob I had. And then I had two games with Richard. So just so much Batman this week. Let's take a quick stab at it. I tested out one of my League Assassins lists. That was the Shiva, Talia... mix of assassins and then a Calendar Man. I gotta say, Calendar Man's probably my favorite henchman now. He is the Sierra of bad guys, and he's probably as must take model like Captain Cold is for certain crews. That game, trying to think, like he ran Dead Man, he ran Raven, he was not using magic, so I wanted to see how she played in Batman without magic versus with magic, which we tried out later. And she's still worth it. Raven has always been a model that just never really needed her magic ability. She just had that sprinkled on. But the whole game ended up being... and he also had Bruce Wayne and like a cop or two, plus Harvey and the detective. He just sewered up Dead Man, took control of the... I want to say it's Acolyte 2, the one with the big sword that's 27 rep. Had control of that guy from turn 1 to turn 3. And he just started cutting people up. And I just barely stayed in the game, but somehow I made up points and ended up being... I think it was a straight tie of 32-32. You know. So that was really fun. And I don't... His caraway from the game was he did not need Raven. Just... Without magic, he didn't think she was worth 80 rep versus taking like Lurita and a few more cops to just kill models, or I threw out Red Hood. So that was the overall end thought. I know Cookie would always tell you, I played defensive and then he played aggressive. And third, I'm not always noticing that's the case here. It's just I played more objective-oriented. Or he played more objective-oriented. I was trying to kill models and then score objectives on my side. And at the end, I think that just made up for me. Had a funny moment where I... You know the League card where you add 3 attack dice to your model and you immediately kill him off.
Yeah.
I definitely did that against Harvey Bullock and just whiffed so hard and suicided my own model. He had 0 damage on the man. I was just like, I'm going to get Harvey and I'm going to one and done him.
Nope.
9 attack dice. Failed. Goodbye, assassin. And she was good. She didn't perform much, though. But objectively, she's good. So that game was pretty fun. And that just got me geared up for game number 2, which I can't remember if we did Magic next or if we went straight to your league game. But why don't you talk about the league game?
So, yeah, because I've talked about, I think, the other 3 games before this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we did the final. I played my bomb list again. I don't recommend ever playing this list, guys. It's not a good list. Really not. But I do have to say it did have a few tricks that I want to bring into Joker lists in the future. So, I mean, we kind of lined up, me and Richard. He had his Bane crew with Arkham Knight, Gun Guy, and a whole bunch of other guys. And then I played Joker list. I messed up with deployment because I left 2 guys because of a giant smokestack that was blocking half my line of sight. that he was saying was a lamppost. I don't agree. So if you use the TTS mod, I say use the lampposts. And if you need them to be the 30 millimeter, put a base underneath. Or maybe we need to make new lampposts, Jason.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna figure it out. I got some also that have the 4-inch radius. I'm gonna load that in when I'm adding 2 faces back today.
So yeah, because he was using the fire markers, and those things are,
yeah,
they block a line of sight whenever you don't see anything but moving pixels.
Yeah, it's definitely a lag problem too. Yeah, but
so
yeah,
I mean, it's a pretty thing, but not for that. Mm-hmm. So I left 2 models in line of sight of the gun guy. Luckily, he didn't take the shot ever before I was able to move both those guys out. But because of that, it kind of messed up my ability to... I was going to try to move my smoke guy, or not my smoke, my poison guy through the sewer and like suicide bomb with him to cause poison on all of his models turn 1 because of some bad deployments and me not thinking about that till after I was done deploying. That didn't happen. Kind of turn 1, we did a lot of movement. I hid behind a building because he outranges me, and Joker really doesn't need or care about what the opponent is doing with his cards. So I just kind of like stayed on my side of the board, placing some objective tokens, placing some, I didn't have fish. Scoring some teeth, scoring some other objectives. And last activation I had Biker go through the sewer using Clock King's card. So he went through the sewer, did his shot against 2 models, didn't kill either one, but hurt them, and then came back through the sewer, which kind of set me up for some other stuff later on in the game. Turn 2, kind of the same thing. He moved up, started shooting models. Yeah, I'm trying to think. I scored more cards because we were able to actually trade a little bit more even. I kept scoring cards and not caring that he was killing models. Actually, because of that, that forced Arkham Knight to not ever... He only shot once in the game, and that was against Scarecrow. Or against... Yeah, Scarecrow. Against Joker. And almost killed him, but knocked him down. And that became important mm-hmm. because both of us forgot about that until halfway through round 2, whenever I had Joker running away to go heal himself. And... we realized that he fell down and where he would have been able to move to would only be still in line of sight of the other gun. So I backtrack. I allowed him, because he already used the gun to shoot a henchman of mine and killed him immediately. We backtracked it, allowed him to do the shot against Joker, which obviously killed Joker. And but had my Axeman guy still alive. It also did kind of mess up, because I think there was probably other cards he would have done, move different models, different places to be able to deal with that.
Yeah.
So there was a whole bunch of stuff that probably would have been different in that game if we would remember Joker was knocked down.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. And that was also definitely what I called out. Yeah. What was it? I want to clarify his list. He also did have a Clock King.
So we had two Clock Kings.
You played very much defensive. Like, you were basically just behind your two buildings being like, oh, please don't kill me. And you'd send a model out or two and just start trying to score a card and be like, he's going to die, but he has a plan. He died. He got knocked out. Whatever.
I scored a card.
Well, Richard he moved up, just right up to you, but he was never, like, I don't think he was in your, not deployment zone, but like that area until like last turn. He just was on the other side of the building, like, come out and play.
No.
You know, his ban cards are, they kept needing to come out in the play to stop it, so he was scoring it. But there was enough, because I don't think he ever scored any dominations. If he did, he scored the
first. He didn't score any dominations. I kept him away from those. The one turn he did play it, I was able to move it back, because he placed it in base contact with Clock King. Clock King manipulated that to get it away and then, like, ran away.
I'm trying to think. And then you stopped his I want to say he only was able to score half of his not free-for-all. Or is it free-for-all? The one for having more veterans. I feel like he had that in his deck. Although I know Richard hates that card.
So maybe I don't remember seeing that one.
Yeah. Okay, then that game he probably did. I think that was the game I played with him. He did.
Yeah, I mean, it was just like I was scoring. First turn, he was definitely in the lead. Second turn, I started scoring more cards than he did.
Although he still had a point lead on him, just because the nature of...
Turn three, we were basically tied. I think I was in a slight lead. I think... And then turn four, I mean, we tied at the end of the game, kind of spoil it. But we got a tie at the end of the game. I think I was at 32. He was at 30. And actually the kill points weren't too dissimilar either. I think he beat me on those, but only slightly.
Yeah. He killed Joker. I don't know. Like, he only played the objective game and he didn't kill a lot of
which
models.
Is, I think, what you need to do. Like, killing is always secondary. And that's why I think a lot of people were... And I wish Joker had another 3-point card, or had a 3-point card. He needs one to, I think, be super competitive. But, like, if you just try to score your cards and you just don't care about wounding your own models, which is what Joker does, I think he's fine. Like, I legitimately think the teeth, it's a trap to try to blow them up on your opponent unless you're placing it in the middle of their crew. Like, I think it's fine if you blow it up on one of your models. It's fine. You scored the card. It does.
I think it's fine no matter what. I don't know if I'd call it a trap if you hope.
Yeah, but it's like if you try to place it in front of your crew and hope that it goes far enough to go blow up them. But if you instead place it somewhere where you know in like two activations or three activations, it's still going to be near models and blow up, then I think it's fine.
Yeah. And you also have the resource that can reduce the number counter to help. If you place it near the end of a turn, then you have scheming to move it. Then you have the other resource to move markers. So, like, it's just situational. The curve, if you split out, you're not going to do it. And obviously, that way it moves towards the last activated model. So, like, you could just move somebody else to move it far away while you're trying to blow yourself up.
I was trying to blow myself up to score another card with it. So, yeah. I mean, I was trying to blow up a guy who had poison on him and kill him so that I get the teeth and I get that ability, but that didn't happen, sadly.
No, it was a good game though. I was joking, was like, we are somehow gonna win this game because that just seems to be how this league's going.
It was a good tie. Like, I think it was a well-deserved tie. But it made me think that Joker, and this is kind of the thing I wanted to get with, is like Joker is a competitive crew. I think it still has some weak points, but he's still good. You go for the scoring, you win. You can win.
Well, the thing that makes his scoring that good is other crews, it's almost like an if or. Like, I'm either going to score or I'm going to attack Joker. It's very easy to just do both. And that's the point I want to get across, because you're just saying just focus on the objectives, which you should do. But, like, if you're just focused on the objectives and your opponent's just focused on your objectives, guess what? It became a game of who's going to score more. And there you're just
going, I have more cards that I can score more and stop the opponent. The thing with Joker, he has more models to stop the opponent from scoring and score himself. And he has more cards in his deck that, like, score off of randomly the opponent doing stuff or random things happening than any other crew. Like, I don't have to interact with you to score my cards.
Yeah. But, I don't know, some crews, like Birds of Prey, because if we're going to segue into my next game with Richard, this is the game where, because, again, the man just, I don't know, I think his family was just out of town, so we were just all playing TTS. It's me, and I had nothing going on, and Ian had, I think, wife was gone.
Yeah, my wife's gone right now.
So we were just TTS whole week. I set up Pig in a Ivy list. I don't think I'd try Pig in an Ivy list again, but I was thinking double medic would be cool. He played another Soldier of the Fortune list. He had Arkham Knight Scarecrow. He did not buy the dispenser for Arkham Knight.
Okay.
Just didn't have the rep for it, which I think he actually did fine. I would always try buying it because it's only like one rep. Maybe it's two. I don't know, something like that. It got reduced. But he did. The Scarecrow was a pain in my butt. He had the Bird, Clock King, a bunch of henchmen. Don't think he had any guns though. It just mostly melee henchmen. The lieutenant, you know. Basic stuff. He had a good amount of models, and so did I. But I also had Pig, so three of my models are stupid. We played corner deployments, which isn't really even a problem in third. I want to say we did plunder. Or not plunder. Either way, we did one where you have the four corners.
Oh, okay.
And you take the two sides, opposite sides. So I play Birds of Prey. I had Poison Ivy, Modified Pheromones, Professor Pig, and I had Montoya. I gave her the adaptable, and she probably, her and Calendar Man, I'm going to say, are the MPV of this game. Then I had Cassandra Cain. Then I had the two good pill ants, not talking about Frank, the 14 rep and the 16 rep shooting one. And then I had Joe Chill, which we were, the mission we were doing, it's the one where you can, one model's not deployed and he comes with a suspect marker. That was Joe Chill for me. And I'm trying to think if I had anyone else or if that was the list. Oh, and then obviously Calendar Man. So he had all that. I placed all my stuff in one corner. We basically placed a sewer by each corner. We kind of messed up. We drew the mission before the sewers, which we learned that does drastically change how the game goes. Because I knew I had the bird card, the one where the nest. And I also decided I was going to take flanking because, well, I'm going to be by the corners anyway. And with Ivy and her plants, I could sprout suspect marker, two suspect markers in the corner. I have Calendar Man, so I'm going to scheme one in the corner. Not even worry about those three cards. They're just going to happen. And they did. Same thing for the nest. I scored all three of those cards. I scored every card in my deck besides like one of them. So spoiler alert. How the game went. I basically only got the two plants out of my deployment zone. Montoya, Cassandra Cain. And at some point, Calendar Man left because he just sewered everybody. All my dolls surrounded the sewer. So turn one, it was just, we're all there. And then turns two through four, he got activation because he had pass markers and all that fancy stuff. And plus one because Clock King. So then the man just proceeded to tear to my whole crew. I did one action with Ivy, not counting my movement actions, but she had one action the whole game, basically. She did one attempt of mind control. Well, she did it twice. Once was at the end of the turn where I got rid of her, the Terror 2 effect. Or no. Did I do that? I think I did. I tried going for mind control first, though, because I was going to score the card, but I didn't pass, so I just used it as a resource. Anyway, my whole crew just was stuck besides Montoya, the plants, and the other one. So the fact that Richard never really attacked me or stopped me from scoring the nest and focused on his own cards, that very much just was how I won the game, because I had nothing. I mean, the whole game felt like I was playing down until at the end I'm like, oh shit, I just scored all my cards. But I was Montoya... her True Seeker is maybe the best thing about the model, because I was able to start knocking out people and still play the suspect game. Mm-hmm. The plants, I was shooting people and still playing the suspect game because True Seeker. And Calendar Man's just a boss. He can do everything a Calendar Man can do. So very much just, I was constantly attacking people. And then I'd somehow just score, you know, like drop a suspect marker there. His activation, I'm going to score some cards. The flanking scores. The nest scored without me doing anything. Ivy scored without me doing anything. I didn't use Sisters in Arms at all. I just, again, I'm just playing the cards that are just naturally happening without me trying to. Okay. You know, there was a few things where I'm like, he could have stopped me from getting. I think he could have stopped two of my three of the tough girls. Because that's if you have more suspect markers and then you reveal one of his. So like his turn one, he just didn't place that many suspects down because he wanted to sewer everybody in my face. And then he had Bird and some other people just sewer elsewhere so they could play a little bit of suspect, but not really. So he just didn't really
score.
Stop me. He just set it up to score his cards when he had to.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's some learning things there, but I really think if he just smoked some of my crew with Bird, that would have stopped me enough. Like, if he could have smoked Montoya, could have stopped some shit. So, you know, I liked his mindset of the Bird, the Soldiers of Fortune card should be about forcing the opponent to do stuff. But I very much think you have to almost capitalize on you're going to attack and score, too.
Right.
No, instead of just focus. It's matchup, though. You know, there's some games where you definitely can just focus on what you're going to score and you'll win almost every time. But I think those lists are more like Arkham Knight list because you can still shoot people where you have more guns.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Just my little walk away of it. But it was a funny game. I was just like, Pig, I think he killed one person too because the man's was terrored the whole time.
You want to move on to the two other?
Yeah, we have two other games of Speed Force, and I don't know if we played any other games besides those two. No. But yeah, I was happy with that game with Richard, and playing with him is always a great time. I think he would definitely play that list again. I think it's good. I think he just needed to be a little more aggressive in a way, and I also don't necessarily think Clocking has a point in every list. I'm anti-Clocking, but I do think he is one of the better releases that has came from third. But yeah, going into Speed. Darren, do you want to first go about how Speed used to play? When we'll talk about the actual what Finian's written.
Yeah, so basically, when we looked at second edition, if you brought either someone that had access to the Speed Force or someone that had access to magic, you got to play with an entire set of rules that your opponent didn't, unless they brought the same thing. So it was pretty much right at the start of the turn. Your speedster would have a number of points that he could spend on accessing different speed force powers, some of which were generic and some of which were unique to the characters themselves. For example, Reverse Flash had the ability to put out an expansive template that pushed models down as his unique power. Or Red Death, who is the Dark Knight. Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, and he's still in standard, just so everyone's aware.
Rough people, wasn't
it's he? Only the other two guys that got man. Man's still on the loose.
And basically, they gave you the ability to move around the table as well, either set distances or at the top level, you could just place anywhere on the table. The trade-off was each of the powers had what was called a paradox roll. Some powers, the less effective ones, you didn't have to roll a dice, but for the more powerful abilities, you rolled a d6. And if you rolled the paradox, rolled two dice on a table to see what would happen, with the worst results being that you lost your speedster, or summoned a speedster for the enemy to use in the form of the Black Flash, who would then hunt down your speedster, and he would basically get a character for free. Other effects would be things like they could choose a table edge for him to come on, or he couldn't use speed force powers that turn. They really did add something to the game, but it meant you were adding an entire separate phase to the way it played, in addition to the fact that speedsters had general rules, which increased their movement. They could move vertically up the side of buildings, and their combat attacks couldn't be blocked unless you were a speedster yourself. So that was really how the Speed Force worked. So how does it work now that it's been updated in this fan edition to third?
So I want to go into the actual rules, but I think for the most part, we played with two different rules at Finian Route. The first one was just version one, and we gave some input. But he basically copied and pasted it to start it out. In the first version, he wanted to tie the speed force counters you generate per suspect marker. We had some issues with this, but we gave it a try.
Yeah.
And the list, he modified it slightly just so it actually made sense in third edition. I'm pulling up the homebrew right now.
Yeah, so one of the things that we forgot to use whenever we played it, and then that was actually a big thing in second ed, is whenever you had counters. So back in second ed, you had your willpower worth of counters. When you run out of those counters, the speedster actually slows down and becomes exhausted and fatigued, which is something that's in the comics and things like that, that they tried to recreate. Yeah. A thing that he did for this one that I think is really clever and we forgot to use is he makes it as after that model is activated. So after the speeds are activated, they get that negative, which is negative one to movement, which really won't matter unless not at all.
And then minus one
to your defense, which is actually important because most speedsters are defense five and that's how they survive. Yeah. So after your speedster has activated, they're now slower and going to be easier to hit by the opponent.
And I did remember this was my second game, and it did come in handy. Well, for the opponent, because a lot of them also aren't martial artists, so if you get two models in contact of them, that defense five or defense four model is, I mean, you're hitting them really easy now.
Yeah.
But I pulled up the list. Because everything's the same.
Yeah, so we'll go through like the Speed Force phase itself. So there's two sub-phases in the Speed Force phase, and this is after, it would be before phase one or before phase two?
It's the lead, then it's the speed phase, and that's phase one, part two.
Yeah. It'd be after phase one, but before phase three, or phase two, which is Raise the Plan.
I'm looking at the list right now. It just says take the lead, then two, speed force, and then it goes raise the plan, duh.
Yeah, raise the plan, then execute the plan. So, which would be your regular phase two, which is raise the plan. Mm-hmm. So this one goes between those two phases. Really won't matter. Just make sure you remember that it goes before any kind of phase two cards, like Clock King's card, gets played. So you have two sub-phases. You have Drain the Speed Force sub-phase and Spend Feast Force Speed Force sub-phase. So the drain is the kind of the same as it was last edition, where there's, did he say 10 in this one? I'm trying to read it. Because we played it with
8 plus D6.
Yeah, it was 10.
It was 10 in second, and this one is
second.
Oh. Does it say how many? I'm not seeing the 8. Maybe you do.
I'll double check that.
Takes the leads, takes the
amount. Here we go. At the start of each round, the speed force pool generates D8 plus D6 speed force counters.
Oh.
So he did it this way just so it was a little more randomized.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's just 10, if we each have one speedster, no one's even realizing it.
Yeah. You have to really start taking more than 2 speedsters for this to start really mattering. But I like that. I think 10 was a little too high, in my opinion. And I actually think 8 is too high with the D6. I'd like that to be lower, but I understand it because speedsters already don't do a lot.
Yeah.
You can have a reserve. And then in your drain, speed force is whenever each person takes one of their speedsters and they take as many speed force counters out of the pool as up to the speed force of that person. So if you have speed force 5, you can take up to 5 counters. If you're speed force 4, only 4 counters. And you go back and forth until all models of the speedster trait were allowed to draw from the speed force pool. So very similar to last edition. And then we go down to the actual meat of this, the speed force, which is the spin speed force subphase.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where you can use speed force.
Yeah.
And there's not a limit like there was last edition. Last edition, you were at max allowed to use one speed force ability, and that was it. This one allows you to use as many as you have counters until they're all spent or until you don't want to spend anymore.
Not going to lie. I mean, I have to look at last edition, but that does not sound correct to me.
That's because everybody played Flash, who was able to use 2.
Okay. And then, yeah, I guess when you're using 2, you generally were using all your speed force counters anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Okay. So,
yes.
I'm happy there's no limit. The only problem with that, I think, and it's not really a problem, it's probably just internal balancing that maybe, you know, I have to work on, or if others playing TTS or even in person want to touch at it, the lower costing powers generally are just better.
Yeah.
You just kind of do all of them and you're like, perfect. You don't even chance a paradox. But
the higher ones need to be a little bit more so people can force themselves to do those or have points where they could use them to make sense. But I mean, that all comes with homebrew and learning and balancing. Yeah. And that's why we're not game designers. So
that's this is just exactly. fun. but the goal is just so they're balanced. So you could put them on the table and no one's like, that's overpowered. But you still feel like you have options in list building. Because like, it's already a lot more fun knowing, hey, I can use Reverse Flash now in list. I wanted to play Reverse Flash for a while now. Or Red Death and TV Flash and another speedster. I don't know.
Yeah. Whenever that Kid Flash ever comes out that we've seen the model for. So we can run through these. I mean, they're not too brain. So we have like for the one cost ones, we have Muscle Growth, Fast Combo, and Super Speed Level 1. Mm-hmm. So like Muscle Growth will give you +1 to your damage roll and +1 to strength tests.
Yep.
Fast Combo gives you an extra action, which is an attack action. And the move, Super Speed Level 1, which is where you can move the model 4 inches.
Mm-hmm.
I really like Fast Combo.
That's the best one by far.
I think this one makes speedsters actually speedsters because in your activation, I can now move, I can place a suspect or go through a sewer and then punch somebody in the face. Or I can punch somebody in the face twice. I like it's an additional attack action instead of double your attacks or something like that. I really like that. using the rules from this edition to make it make sense.
Yeah. So then for level 2 powers, which I agree, Vascon was just the best one there. You got super speed level 2, which is the same thing as level 1, but it's 8 inches. And obviously you could do 2 and then level 1 to move 12 inches.
Yep.
So, you know, combining them together. Then you got metabolized wounds, which is now after our game. It's one of the ones we highlighted. We bumped it up to remove 4 damage markers, any type, from the model. And there's no paradox with either of those. And then you start getting paradoxes in the next brackets.
Yep. So you have super speed level 3, which is move 15 inches. So you're moving a little bit farther than you would if you spent the 3 speed force for the other two. But you do have a 5+ paradox. You have matter control, which is one of the ones we I feel like I really want to try out. We've told them kind of to fix it to make it make sense. But it gives you a choice. Mm-hmm. Gives you Kevlar vest and elusive. Or you can remove basically 6+ poison markers on, I'm guessing, your model.
I think that's the intent here.
Yeah. So basically, you can get rid of all the poison on you. So for whatever reason, that's nice because speedsters are expensive and letting them slowly die to poison this sucks. But also the Kevlar vest and elusive with already being a
hard to hit model
with everything else, I don't think opponents even want to shoot this model because they're going to lose a strength die automatically. You can make them re-roll one of their hits and they can still dodge. So they can already go all the way down to 1 and then force you to re-roll the 1 that you had there. So almost impossible to hit.
Yeah.
Molecular control, which is another really cool one. Until the end of the round, this model can pass through models and scenery elements. Objects on a 6+.
And I think we're reading actually just slightly different.
Am I reading an older one?
He changed it to just an also in corporal. I also didn't see the level 3 for super speed, though. I feel like that's just an error on this version.
It could be. I also just clicked the one that was in our homebrew section, so
there's 2 at least, so I don't know.
I clicked the latest one. I did click the latest one. So
all right.
Whoops.
Yeah, no, I think maybe you were reading the right one. I don't know.
We're professional podcasters.
Yeah, can't you see?
But I do remember that change, thing, right? Though. I thought that change was... I'm not seeing the incorporeal. But I do remember that being a change that we brought up.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the incorporeal was really cool.
Which is the same thing, just the wording's better.
Yeah.
Then for the next one, which again, all those are good, but all of them are very much just situational. Except for, did you mention fast stands were till the end of the round to get order?
Yeah, see, that's not the one I have.
Yeah, so then I have the more recent one here.
You go through it.
So fast hands, we threw that in there just because we're like, speedsters should have a variety of stuff because, you know, you're a speedster, you'll do everything you want to do within reason. So we suggested order. This is just the idea being you could do a special action in your round to, quote, run up to a friend and then place a suspect marker, aka order. So that was that. It's 3 points, and these do have paradoxes. Order is a 5+, matter control is a 6+, and molecular control is also a 6+.
Yeah, I picked up. I got the right one now. I don't know what I did. I think I clicked the wrong one.
All right. But yeah, no, order is nice. I did it, I think, once in my second game with Finian. Just because you only have like 5 points on the flashes. 6 with more of the eternal guys. But, you know, it's 3s. You're fitting it in there. You're making that decision with only 4 rounds in the game.
Yeah.
You got to make that decision. And if your crew already has a lot of suspect marker stuff, you don't really care. So then jump into the next bracket, which is only 1 power. Rapid disarm for 4. One enemy model within 4 inches of the target cannot use ranged weapons with the firearm, mechanical, or beam special rule for the duration of this round, or reveal a suspect marker within line of sight as if it was phase 3. So there is no range for phase 3, unless Finian still means the 4 inches. I don't think so, though. But we did it within phase 3, mostly just so if the opponent has a card to score off of this, he can do that. But also, yeah. I mean, there's a few cards in your deck that are like reveal marker. That could happen here.
That makes sense. I think, honestly, I think the Speed Force needs to be in... I think it needs to move to this after phase 2 anyways.
Mm.
So then you can basically say it's part of phase 3. It's the beginning of phase 3.
Well, that's also another reason why we did order instead of immediately placing something, because right. we wanted it to be convenient and also more abilities to stop it.
Yeah.
So you feel like you don't have a speedster, but you have a way to stop special actions.
Yeah.
You can stop that. Yeah. And that's also the 6+ paradox.
Yeah. And then the last two we have are hyper fast combo. This character makes an effort action for free until the end of the round. This is really cool. I think it needs to be changed to wording, but basically allows you to effort always for free. Always.
Yeah.
It's amazing. You can always effort 3 times for dodging and everything else.
Yeah. I mean, it's 5 points. So that's like everything you're doing, but it's one of those things where it does just hit all the boards. Maybe you're playing a crew like Brave and the Bold where you already completed the raid. So you're like, oh, I can attack 6 times. Well, 2 attack actions or an extra attack action. So run up, you know, attack somebody, or maybe these other bad guy crews soon will get more cards that let them do extra actions.
Yeah.
But it's good because you get your dodges, you get your attacks, and anything else that would require efforting.
And then for the 6th one, this is the same as I think the last edition, hyperspeed. Remove the speedster from play and immediately place it anywhere on the game board. And it must fit.
You're never going to do this. I mean, maybe last round.
Yeah, I mean,
literally, you're going corner to corner, but there's only 2 models I think that can do this that are sort of relevant. One of them's, I know for sure, is Eternal, but like it's the 2 Ezra Miller Flash.
2 flashes.
And, well, no, the other one's Johnny Quick.
Oh, yeah.
I want to say he's Speedster 6.
That's probably true.
And then obviously the old Metal Flash, but I mean, this is Homebirth. Who cares? I just don't really think he's that great, though. But
no,
maybe in 3rd I'll relook at him if we're actually gonna get out the metal models.
And then,
but yeah,
yeah. Then you have a whole Paradox table. I don't think we really need to go into it.
We don't. I think all of it's basically the same as last time.
Looks like it.
I'm just skimming through. Is there anything that changed? I paradoxed a few times.
Your opponent can place a suspect marker and base contact with you, so that could be cool. Cannot be activated this round. Cannot move. Receive some stun damage. I mean, it's all bad stuff. It's bad to Paradox. Yeah. Just like I it was last edition.
If Black Flash shows up more. I mean, it's an extra model, so like it does add to the game, but it just always visually seemed really cool. Yeah. I've considered... I don't think I'll do it, but when I would like to continue ironing out these homemade homebrew rules for Speedsters and also Magic. So I feel like they're good to use in leagues for TTS.
Yeah.
I already think Bat or Speedsters are in a good spot right now.
I mean, there's a
few more games. You can tweak some things here and there.
Yeah. I mean, the biggest thing is the hardest thing to sell is like, are they worth it? Whenever you're not going to be able to take a card to score, whereas other free agent who may be cheaper, who may not be, comes with a card to score. So because of, I think that is always important, or you have to have a plan of how to use him to score your cards better than that other model has.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can also make the same thing for Reverse Flash. Captain Cold, he doesn't bring a car, but like he does a lot of things. Captain Cold is just great, though. He's 70 rep.
he shouldn't be.
But I don't honestly. He's really good. I don't. I'm kind of moving on the part of like, you need to score your cards, yes. But total points, I don't necessarily think is going to be as big a deal. Now for Joker, it is.
Yeah.
And you've been in that mindset for a while. That's but true. I think some other crews, you can live without another two-pointer.
Obviously, we're recording this after Two-Face has been revealed. So
yes, we've not seen his cards, though, so we're not going to talk about him too much.
No, but obviously that's going to be the who I'm focusing on next. So we'll see.
Yeah, I probably too. And I think with him, you might also want more cards. But because he feels very similar to Joker. Anyway, speed. I think you could definitely take models without cards. I mean, Bronze Tiger, yes, I'll take him all the time. Cabin Cold, yep. I like Mad Hatter. Like, there's just a lot of models I like, and I think Reverse Flash definitely can fit a role. And I haven't tried Red Death yet, but I think he also could too, though he's a little bit less... He's going to deal more damage with attacking people, just... Like, I'm happy. I think Speedsters are good. You don't necessarily need a card. But I did consider making a homebrew card to put in the generic deck. So I don't know if that's too much homebrew. Now you're making cards. But every crew could take it. And it'd probably be like... I shot you guys a list of it. But the objective was going to be, I think, a two-pointer. And you basically either... If there's an enemy Speedster on the table... Your speedster has to, you know, knock him out or kill him, and then you score the card. Or if there's no enemy speedster, you're gonna place an event marker in the middle of the table that you can attack, and you score the card once your speedster's removed it. So like this way, you're taking more actions to do it, but the resources, if it's some sort of buff to the speed phase, or I was almost gonna do it like you roll a d3, and you can use that many powers in your activation as if it was the speed phase, and just make it fun. Get that extra juice going. So I maybe one day I'll actually play test that, but right now probably won't worry about it.
I think that would be actually what if Knight ever re-releases Speed Force and Magic, I think that would be a great way to add to the generic deck is bring out generic cards for those phases. And like it would be like a 6 or 7 pack plus some character cards. So,
and I also was thinking, because you could also do this to nerf, so like to have more counterplay for the opponent's speed or magic, specifically magic here. So, like, my idea with the magic card, which we'll talk about the magic homebrew, which honestly, nothing's really changed, but we'll skim over it. The magic card, the resource would have probably been like either get a free rare enough medallion in your list just immediately. Or something to stop it, and then the scoring would have been basically a magical totem you have to go after, kind of like the loot bag, except for this totem's just like jumping from person to person. Like I had a way how it would work, which I think is simple enough, but it also deals like poison and some damage to them, because you know, magical totem, that shit is not just going to comfortably fit in your pocket.
No,
random Gotham thug. But I think that'd be fun, and maybe if in that card you don't necessarily need a magic user, you can just bring it, or the idea was you're going to like you score it if the magic user is holding the totem at the end and it just jumps between everybody like a big old roulette wheel.
That'd be cool.
Or yeah, so maybe one day I kind of want to just like throw maybe the next league throw these homebrew rules in there and see if people will start bringing lists with them and just see how the game feels. Because it did feel really refreshing to look at these models again in different crews.
Definitely. I obviously, because we got, I don't know, like you got in like 4 games and I got in a game plus or actually 2 games in a week and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's other things that played into it, but it definitely, I think immediately as soon as you showed me that, I was like, okay, when can we play so I can put a speedster on the table since I have not ever been able to, and I've been waiting.
Mm-hmm. And I have only magic if I play with Raven, so like that's magic, and that's half magic there. But I think it's really all I got to say about the speedsters. I had a lot of fun with them. we didn't really talk about our main game. The one me and Ian did was literally just, I think we straight tied 27-27, did really nothing. You brought a 4 or 5 model list. I brought Raven the Bold.
I brought a 6 model list. Just 2 of them were plants.
Okay, 2 of them were plants. All right. And one of them was Kite Man.
Yes.
Okay, but he played Ivy with Captain Cold and Reverse Flash. I had a cool moment, though, where like Flash did run up and he, I want to say it was Ivy, where I double attacked her and then arrested her.
No, it was Captain Cold.
Oh, it was Captain Cold? Oh, but I needed to arrest him. Like, I scored a card doing that.
Yeah.
But it was cool, just because, I don't know why I feel like that was Ivy, though.
Maybe like, it was on Ivy. Her own.
It definitely was, because I think it was also your boss. No, it was just, they're still stun machines, and with how effort works, they're all single stun, effort single stun. Your opponent really doesn't even care about efforting, so you're usually just going to roll like 6 or 7 dice. Although Flash is only a, well, no, yeah, still 6 dice, you're efforting 3 times.
Yeah.
So it's just fun, you know? Like, I like them. They don't feel broken at all, but I think they feel playable that I want to bring them to the table in a sort of competitive list. Some crews might have better options, of course, but, you know, I'm happy.
Yeah, I think Speedsters in second edition sort of came into their strengths towards the end of the time, because I've just been going over a few of the Speed Force edition rules, because I've had the first and second edition. In first edition, you write in, you could only use the one ability with a Speedster, unless you were the Flash, you could use 2. In second edition, you could just spend up to your total Speed Force points. Yeah, so you could, so for example, you could have +1 strength and then double attacks, and some of the Flashes could actually use their Speed Force points as action counters as well. So it was a way to get sort of like 10 dice attacks with them, the TV though, Flash and things like that.
Well, you couldn't block, so actually, never mind. They were still stun machines. But that still transferred well.
Yeah, absolutely. But they never felt overpowered in the Speed Force. It was tended to be the individual Speed Force powers, like Red Death's, which was particularly strong.
And I still maybe like Reverse Flashes, the double stun
and push
sound clap. I can't remember. Yeah, the push.
I almost
think that actually probably got stronger.
I almost pushed off 2 models from the roof, but he ran away.
Would have been hilarious. You should have.
You ran away.
Well, I actually ran the CW Legion of Doom, so Captain Cold, Reverse Flash, Damian Dark and Malcolm Merlyn. I ran it at a tournament. In my first game, I played into a pretty much gun-heavy Brave and Bold. I've talked about this game like last year on the cast. I won't go back over it, but I think it was something like 14 stun damage I put out the first time I put the template down, just like pushing models, getting collateral damage as they got pushed into buildings and knocking them down. It was just hilarious. So good times. The second part of it after the Speed Force, which sounds like it's getting where it needs to be, is magic. And you said that that's not changed.
We definitely gave more input on the speed rules. So, I think everyone can agree speed was not that great in first and even second. At the end with Red Death, and more people were thinking about Reverse Flash, but they still weren't A tier.
No.
Maybe Red Death in certain builds, but like I remember Adam's Archie Red Death thing, like that. I think that was pretty good. But other than that, they weren't that great. So we're like, we can buff that up. Because I also think Red Death power maybe isn't as impactful, because it used to rip counters off. Now it's just the less efforts for like your first effort. So not as huge a deal. It's still a big deal. Like, I would do it. Just not overpowered. So we bumped them up. Magic, we put Raven. Magic, half of Magic, and just didn't have any input yet to say. Only other thing I can really think of is just making it more ways the opponent could stop it. But third edition, like if you look at Magic in second, it's going to be weaker by comparison because you have less turns to do it. One of the strongest things was you just had almost 5 turns, because turn 1 you're always going to move. 5 turns of just you're going to deal 2 to 4 blood damage to somebody, and then you still have your activation of you're going to do damage. And depending on who you brought, I think Zatanna was probably the most broken. She's just magic trick. Could do like 4 blood damage and then heal somebody a little bit.
Yeah.
She's still going to do all that. Just you have less turns to do it. So instead of turns 2 through 5 or 6, now it's 2 through 4. And third edition just became more lethal in comparison. You're used to losing models and it's not necessarily rewarding the opponent. It's also not the phase 3. Well, actually, no, it is phase 3. That's never mind. I'm thinking speed.
Yeah, I think we actually played for a while in the UK meta where no one actually took Magic to tournaments just because it was that busted. We broke it out for the very last tournament we held in the UK, and I did run Zatanna. And again, she was, I think she won me my first game by just deleting various members of the Teen Titans. And in my last game, the Multiverse Batman dropped down, and she took him from full health to leave him on like 2 health left in a single Magic round. It was just utterly crazy and ridiculous. And she was doing it, and it wasn't even like, I think I had to roll like a 4 on 2 dice to be able to do it. So we won't go over what the rules were, but just be thankful if you're new to third edition.
I think that's the biggest thing that needs to change is the difficulty levels.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was talking to him about how we might incorporate that. I also do think you could spike it up just a little bit. Or maybe even just ditch the whole add your willpower to this 2d6 roll that's usually around 11 or 12. Just make it a different roll altogether.
Or make it.
But like if you add some more difficulties, I think it could work.
Yeah. I mean, what would be kind of cool, just as a thought, because they all have special 4.
Mm.
Right? Like just about every single master you just have special 4.
Basically.
So you use that, use their special to do all these powers and just roll 4 dice and you can effort it and whatever they need. So I don't know, the difficulty level can be however many successes they need. And that is, I don't know, go from there.
Yeah. Like you could rework Magic that way, which I'm not opposed to. Although we were talking,
cause I think like Eldritch Bolt or like any of those ones that you're shooting somebody, just make it so you need to hit their defense and you roll like a regular shooting attack and just, I don't know, make it something there. But that would take a whole overhaul.
That's a whole overhaul.
You see, I think an overhaul would be a good thing because I'd actually like to see less a focus on all of the attack spells, which there were a huge amount of, and more variety in what they can actually do so that they're not just damage dealing machines. Like Zatanna was the ultimate example of that, but Constantine could do the same thing. Raven was more of a debuff, but those were really the 3 that you used most of the time that I could think of. I'd like to see some movement, some distraction, some playing around with their suspect markers or objectives, or, you know, flipping the top card of their plot deck or something. There's all sorts of things you can now do in third with the change in the mechanics to really show how versatile Magic users are. But I like Ian's idea about basing it on the special, getting rid of the whole willpower effect. And like I say, I think where the speed force can be transferred from second to third and hasn't largely changed from first, I think Magic would be a case for just scrap it and start again.
All figure out a good, fair way to doing it. I know, I do think that might be better for the game. And I remember, what was his name on the Arc and Rejects? He just joined. I think he's a newer player, but he was kind of like, why don't we just redo kind of how the Riddler, well, it was him and Ian, or not Ian, Yuri, and him and Richard mentioned him again. We should get a bell every time we mention him. This is our cookie. He was saying if they just redid it like Riddler, where they just, the new traits, instead of accessing the magic book that technically no longer exists, if they're just like, hey, you get ability, you could just redo all the spell books. Because like speed, it was just, you're a speedster, look at speed base. With magic, it's, you're a magic user, so everyone has the generic like 3 powers. But then you had your your little spell groups, your divination, your exorcism, eldritch, occultism, green, elemental. So instead of just list.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Divine, which no one had.
So like, instead of it just being, here's your three powers, if you're like, oh, hey, you're elemental, you get a shot. Basically, it's just a gun, but maybe it's a special action to use. Or, you know, and maybe like you effort to activate it, something like that. Like, you could redo it that way. You could keep the like, core idea of magic and have more ways to nerf it.
So,
which I want to play with it more, like get a Zatanna, get Damien Dark or whatever, and just see how bad it is in third. But we were talking about ways either. The three we threw out, based on how many enemy suspect markers are in the area, if that hurts the test. So that was one. You could just make the test straight up harder,
so,
but the opponent can control that, and you can control that too.
That would be cool.
Two was...
I would do...
I don't know, just...
So, the go back... Yeah, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but... So, going back to my idea with the four special... the average roll on four dice is roughly a 12. Actually, it's like 12 to 15-ish. So if you just do that, and then you can effort. You can make it, you can try really hard to make this power work. So if you want to effort, you can add dice like you do for any other roll. And now you're just adding more dice to you add to it so you can get to that difficulty level. So you're rolling like for precognition, which is 2 magic points, difficulty 14. You'd roll 4 dice trying to get add up to a 14 on your 4 dice. That could work.
No.
And then it's like, it's not going to auto happen. On average, it should happen. Mm. But if you want to effort and make sure it happens, you can. And then I think that would... make it, because like you see in the shows, you see in the comics, like they try. Like, it's not like, oh, it just happened. It's like they have to do stuff to make these magic powers happen, and sometimes they don't work. Yeah. I don't know.
I think that also would bring more, because we're in Nth Medallion in second, and even in like the game we played of third,
it mattered.
Of all the magic tests, it did matter. But it might only matter once. It's not like this big thing you're getting for 150 funding. Because usually like they're rolling the 2d6 plus their willpower, which usually is like at lowest a 7. Usually it's like an 8 or 9. Yeah. And I think Z even gets an additional plus 1 to this roll. Plus 2. Yeah, see.
Now Z's 8 and gets plus 2, so she's like a 10 plus 2 dice. So she was like rolling 3s and 4s on 2 dice.
So she starts at a 2, and then she rolls 4 dice. Mm-hmm. She'd start auto getting 6s. She rolled 4 ones.
Yeah.
You could also factor in the enemy efforting against you to take dice away.
I'm making
you
know, sort of show their resistance to it.
As, yeah, no, I like those questions.
And it would make sense, too, for like the ones that you have to roll against defense. Like, you do add the defense. Yeah. So it's like, where's the one I just talked about? I don't know.
Because those are always like 8 or 9 plus.
Yeah, it's like Eldritch Bolt. Like Eldritch Bolt is 10 plus defense. So it's a 15 if you're a Batman or a 13 if you're a goon. So, I mean, that makes it so it's not impossible. And if we're just going to do free damage instead of like the shot like we did at the end of second, I think that would make more sense. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I mean,
it's adding.
I would like those changes. We'll have to try a game with that one. But that sounds good for
a test.
A change. Yeah.
It actually fits. It fits more in with the third as well, because the fact that third has done away with the damage roll, you just hit and do damage, and then there's an additional strength dice. That actually fits more in with magic just doing damage and not having to do a strength test. So that again brings magic more into balance with the way that damage is done in third edition.
The only other thing I can think of is, not going to lie, I've just never really liked the green abilities. Like there's just some abilities that seem way too good, and others that are like really subpar.
Yeah. I think a lot of these you'd have to go through and be like, okay, no one will ever use this ability ever. Or maybe once, and it's not even that big of a deal.
Yeah, well, the thing is, like, if you're taking the swamp thing, you're going to do all the abilities because you have 4 magic points, I want to say, on him.
And he only does the green, right?
He only has green, and everyone has the basic powers, so you're probably actually going to do more of the basic powers, which is just elemental, magic healing, magic bolt, and the...
Restoration?
Yeah. So, even on him, you were hardly doing green. So, like, you know, I definitely am not opposed. I want to play a game with you, Ian. We'll try your change, because that does sound better. And then just figure out which powers work and don't work. But yeah, no, I'm looking forward to the future of Magic and Batman.
Because it was never, I mean, it was broken, but it was never on a lot of models. And I really want to see them expand the model range for that, too. Because right now you have one bad guy and then like 5 good guys.
Technically 2 bad guys, because you have Enchantress.
I mean,
Eternal, still. I'm going to mention her. She's also 140 reps, so like, how often are you going to see her? I don't know.
I mean, she does have Mastermind. What's the Mind Control? Mind Control. There you go.
Does she, like, I got to look at her card again, because I remember I was looking at the crew app, and I don't think it had Mind Control in there. It had something else, and I'm not sure if that's an error or if I'm misremembering her. But I remember Cookie ran her like one list, because she's like, Mind Control and Magic, that's cool. I'm like, yeah, that sounds right. I don't know. Maybe the crew app's wrong. And then you have Damian Dark, who does bring other things to the crew, but a lot of his stuff was countering magic too, like with his special power, which doesn't do much because there's just not a lot of magic. It's just, you either play against Brave and the Bold or you probably won't find magic. And I think third editions that like a lot of the bagger crews are getting decks, so like there's what being played more in the league. We had 1 Brave and the Bold player and 2 Titan players. That sounds correct to me. So you're not going to see a lot of magic.
I didn't play against Brave and the Bold. I don't think I've ever not played against Brave and the Bold in any tournament or anything else. It's like, this is a first. It was great.
Yeah. I wonder if that's going to stay there. I'm sure when the game plateaus and everyone has a deck, you're going to see more crews actually just balance out and play. But now everyone's all just excited for the new stuff. So, like, yeah, redo powers, make it Tata special. Like, that's what we're thinking. But let's talk about, like, has any powers actually changed if any?
I think there was a few things that changed. I'm looking at.
Demon Slayer. I've been looking this whole time, and I don't really see any differences. I want to bring it back to him. Because
I'm like, I don't see anything. Because it was, I mean, magic was always in, like, a book, and then it was, like, in sort of a PDF that like disappeared. So the fact he was able to type all this out was great. That's a lot of work.
Yeah, no, it was good. I typed it out.
Yeah, I mean, we just need to take a moment, and I know we're spending a bit of time sort of picking things apart, but that's how like beta testing and like play testing goes. But we've really got to appreciate the effort that's gone into doing this as a fan project.
Anything that I'm saying is with love.
And it's something we all do appreciate.
I would not have time to do this. I've done stuff like this before for RPGs and things like that, and I understand how long these take. And I'm not tearing this down because I think you did wrong and don't do it again. I'm like, this is making me happy. It makes me want to play the game.
Oh, agreed. And I know we're not talking about it, but I'm trying to think of anyone who's done homebrew stuff for Batman already. Like Luigi was the first name I could think of, which I hope that's actually his name. It's like at the tip of my tongue. Pretty sure it was Luigi because he did a Riddler deck before that came out, and then he did an organized crime deck. Which I helped a lot with him, and I'm like, he really did spend a lot of time with that. And I'm just like, some people here are like, this is, we like third edition, we like Batman, we want to play.
Yeah.
Let's, like, you know, if we have to make our own tools to play, like, let's do that. And I appreciate that spirit, you know, like, and we're looking at the deck, and I'm like, it's interesting, you know. Thing is, with decks, obviously, like, I think magic and speed are always going to be good for homebrews, because it's just optional rules with decks. That's how
you win.
I mean, we'll talk about it next week with Two-Face, but it's how you win it's also how, like, the resources and then knights making new mechanics, like Riddlers or Riddle Markers, the bird card mechanic, the then we'll talk about it next time, the two-sided cards, or the two different
you know, like phases of Two-Face, which is amazing. I can't wait to dive into his rules more, and I'm waiting to see what his crew looks like.
You know, like, I round of applause to everyone who's put homebrew work in. I know some players will appreciate it, but, like, they generally straight and narrow, they're gonna play the night models game. But if I can incorporate any of that to TTS and leagues to help revive it, because I think like last one I delayed it so long because I'm like, nothing's really happened, a lot of it's the same people, and now we're doing the bracket system, which I'm trying to take, like, where you're located into account. I don't want people to have the same four games and same four mashups and nothing's really changed, right? You know, which, I mean, if we had more people and the brackets are bigger, I wouldn't be as worried. It's also a free event, so, like, I don't really have to be worried. You can play the game if you want to. By the way, you can play the game whenever. I don't need to make a league. But it definitely helps, encourages more people to play. You know, but, like, Speed and Magic, I really am planning to throw it on there. Or down the line, maybe I'll make a fun scenario, just, like, want to be like, hey, round one, we're all going to do this weird scenario. Maybe I'll theme around a holiday and we'll do it then.
That Halloween scenario.
You know, just fun stuff. Amazing. Yeah. I thought about that one. I vaguely remember the GCPD had a scenario they did where, like, picked up candy or shit from, like, there's, like, six markers they placed on the table. Maybe, is that the night one? No, it can't be the night one. But I thought that would be a good one with suspect markers and just constantly trick-or-treating, you know, maybe next year. Or I'm sure you can tweak it for 4th of July or Christmas. It's almost Christmas if you celebrate. Like, a month away, but, like, it's Thanksgiving. So, AKA, after tomorrow, it's now Christmas till New Year's. But, yeah, I might tweak around that stuff because I think that's just a little twist you can do on the game without actually, you know, forcing the game in one direction, imposing your will.
Yeah, I agree.
So I think that sort of covers off where we were with the Speed Force and the Magic rules. And one last thing we want to talk about, and that is the limited edition model for this Black Friday, which is a super awesome model. Really, really like it. I didn't know who it was, didn't know her relevance in the comics because a very new character to me, but the Grim Knight.
Ian, do you guys want to give
us a little bit of background to the character?
He's part of the... I'm not read up on a lot of these newer comics, I'm sorry. But I know he's part of the Dark Universe with our multiverse with he's basically Deadshot mixed with Batman with those kind of metal Dark Knight metal stuff. He's more of a street level guy, but he is not your smart Bruce Wayne. He's kind of used like a sidekick of and almost like a henchman, even with Batman Who Laughs. I remember him. He's in the Batman Who Laughs like story arc story. And yeah, he was used, I don't want to say as a joke character, but he was definitely used as like a throwaway henchman kind of character for that. But he could shoot well.
Yeah.
That's as good as I got. Sorry.
Okay. I don't know much either, but I've been trying to keep up with some of the comics. So Wikipedia. I was sort of prepared a few days ago. I looked this up. The Grim Knight was an alternate version of Batman who started using guns ever since shooting Joe Chill, who murdered his parents. He was an enemy to Batman, as he often allied himself with the Batman Who Laughs. And then, you know, I could read all the origin story, but I'm pretty sure, like, either Ultimate Universe just created, and then he just works with Batman Who Laughs, and the rest Ian filled in. But yeah, he's just a Batman with a lot of guns. That's all you need to know. The model's awesome. A lot of guns. So,
and that's
Darren, that's you're not talking so much.
A lot of you, guns. You have a lot up. Of guns.
Hooray. How about you go? You have to go through.
I've got his card in front of me, yes. Okay, so he's rank free agent, affiliate unknown with Rivals Brave and the Bold. He is 125 rep and costs $500 because of all the guns. He's got willpower and endurance 7, which is a little bit lower than your normal Bruce Wayne Batman. But he is attack 5, defense 4, strength 3+, movement 8, and has 3 special. And he comes with 2 weapons. He has ranged weapons, which are double blood, rate of fire 3 with 4 ammunition, short range and firearm. And he's got a hunting knife, which is sharp, blood stun. He's got the sort of normal rules that you'd expect for a Batman. So he's got Bat Armor Mark 1, so there's no strength die when attacking the model. He's got the Bat Claw. He's got Detective. He is a close combat master, so when fighting unarmed, he can reroll failed attack dice, and he comes with reinforced gloves to do double stun. He's a martial artist, which is really useful on a defense 4 Batman, so that he ignores the penalty for being outnumbered.
But then he gets
the arsenal rule. And Ian, do you want to take us through that?
So each time this model performs a ranged attack, choose one of the following special weapon rules to apply. Medium range, replacing the existing range roll, and scope. You also got explosive, reduce rate of fire to 1, and anti-tank. And you got assault and red dot. So this is just representing the fact that he has, you know, an RPG, an assault rifle, and then he has the Rita's carbine. Yeah, like those are his 3 guns of choice. Not going to lie, I kind of wish the RPG was a higher rate of fire just so you can place more templates. Because I like that. But yeah, I think it's good, you know. I don't know if you're ever going to use the explosive, but if you really need anti-tank and there's a lot of models bunched up, maybe. But it's the biggest thing about it is just versatility. You know, do you want to scope someone from far range or do you want to be the Rita? And you mentioned he has the reinforced gloves. So I'm like, I don't know if I'm ever actually going to use a hunting knife unless I'm in close combat and I want to do 1 blood damage to somebody. But yeah, I like him. And he is the affiliation unknown free agent, hates Batman or rivals Batman. And lastly, if we look at the fine print, this model reduces reputation cost by 21 points when including a Batman Who Laughs team. So as of now, I don't think he's actually listed on the team document, but obviously the intent is he can go in the team. So yeah, I think I'm really happy with this release. I don't think it's as overpowered as I feared it is. Because, well, I'm not going to lie, I feel like Black Friday models should never be that strong. Limiting stuff.
He's defense 4, yeah. Attack 5. He's a more expensive Deadshot, and as much as I haven't seen Deadshot ever taken,
like, I'm considering him in some list.
Yeah, I mean he can shoot every turn with his ranged weapons. I mean he has 4 ammo, so he can move and shoot all he wants. He doesn't care. Might as well use the ammo. But I mean, yeah, I don't know.
He's very, very similar to the Nightmare Batman, although one, I think, had Close Combat Master of instead of the Living Close Arsenal, Master, but he still has the carbine and an automatic gun.
That's
so he had a choice of 2 guns.
Mixed combat fighting.
Yeah.
I actually kind of think Nightmare might just be better, but like they're filling different roles.
Mixed combat styles, that's what I meant.
Brave and the Bold, Leader, Bruce Wayne. This guy is just can be anywhere. He's an awesome model. I think you're right. I don't know if you're going to see him in actual crews, except for if the people just want to play with this model, because it's a really nice model.
And I like the fact this is the first time we see this little thing in the bottom right that says this model reduces his reputation cost by 21 points. Like, I like that in the bottom ref. We have a rule that's not a rule, but it's down there as a little side note.
Yeah.
That's great.
I could...
It's also a way of dealing with extra points issues which have cropped up in the past with making teams unbalanced, Legion of Doom. So if you wanted to take, like I mentioned that list, if you wanted to take Reverse Flash, Damien Dark, Captain Cold, and Malcolm Merlin, you just put the rule on that if you take these models, they each reduce their point cost by 10, and then you can take them all into 50.
Using the space on the card, I think you're going to see this guy in Batman Who Laughs, because
I like it.
Batman Who Laughs kind of had one list you're building, I think. Either start.
I'm trying to think of how you do it.
You're 104. Guess him.
Yeah. So you do him, Bat Who Laughs, and then three of the Robins?
I think so, because each Robin's 23 points.
I think so, yeah. So you're basically doing this instead of a Robin and one of the 70 points.
Actually, I think you get Robin's 60, right?
No, he's 70.
Okay, 70.
Yeah, both of the non-Robins are 70, I thought.
I don't know. Because if it's 60, you can check this later, but if it's 60, then you get Damian Wayne, Bat Who Laughs, this guy, and then two Robins.
Okay.
So if it's 60, it works perfectly. If it's not, then you just get more Robins.
Yeah.
Because...
We do have to point out for the Batman Who Laughs, he doesn't have the rule that allows him to be summoned into the game by killing free agents. Yeah.
Well, that's true. So you can summon him in.
Leaders, etc.
No, you cannot. You can't summon this guy or Bat Who Laughs. You can only summon in the Robins.
No, you can't summon him in.
And then Gordon.
Right.
Which I'm thankful for. I did not want this guy just randomly popping in every crew. Because I think we can all agree he is stronger than both Damian and Gordon. But yeah, I'm happy with this card.
Oh, absolutely. And so that was just a little taster. We're just waiting now on seeing... We've seen the deck for Two-Face. We're waiting on seeing the stat cards. I have to say, and I've put it on the Discord and I've put it on the Facebook groups, I think the Two-Face crew is possibly the nicest crew that they've done. I think the Sugar and Spice are amazing. Love the Hush. And the Peaky Blinder feel to the gangsters is kind of what I really, really want. It's like a Peaky Blinders, Untouchables, 1920s Al Capone vibe.
I'm happy.
I'm really, really digging the entire
Black Friday. It was a good one for them. But I don't feel like I was forced to steal my money, though, because like, actually, Grim Knight was actually pretty cheap. So I was just like, if you want them, you're obviously going to buy enough so you get free shipping and the crypto, but other than that, like, this is good night. Just hope your shit comes. Like, I hate to say it, but, like, fingers crossed. I like to think you're flipping a coin here. Flip a coin for Two-Face. Does he show up?
He'll show up. It'll just might take a little bit longer than we're used to. But that's, I mean, it's going to take a while, guys. Be patient. I mean, it's every Black Friday. It takes a bit for them to ship everything out. Yeah. They're being quicker with replacement parts and everything else. Just be patient. I think everybody will get their stuff.
I mean, hey, it's COVID. It's not like you have a tournament next weekend, right?
Exactly.
It's COVID. As long as you get your models at some point. I know everyone else is going to, like, obviously, with that much money, you want your stuff, but...
Exactly.
It's also Christmas right now coming up, so everything's slower due to that. Mm-hmm. I would not expect these before Christmas if you don't live in Europe. I'm just going to be honest, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to ship out till the 10th. So, I mean, they do some quick shipping, but...
Yeah, I got to say, like, communication, that's slow, but when it's in the mail, has nothing to do with Nightmares at that point. So it's pretty done. I think that's it, though. Last remarks, guys?
I really want a Catwoman right now. The base of Spice. I want Catwoman on that base, her. Sorry.
Modern age? Yeah, modern age Catwoman. One of the other Catwomans. Do you have an envision here?
I don't know, maybe modern age.
I think modern,
you see that, you see the pearls and then like the money bag and everything else. I'm like, man, I would just take her off that base, put modern age Catwoman on that base with like a little cat, and that would be perfect.
That would look awesome. Who knows? Maybe we'll accidentally get sent an extra base.
No.
That's never. But you never know.
It's true.
Extra parts. I have like two Gordon bodies, I think. I don't know. It would be cool for a conversion too. Maybe if I'm at a tournament and I see there, I'll just be like, hey, I want this. But like, does anyone else want the models? I just want the base.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll. I don't think so. Next time we'll.
I've not got anything else to add to this episode.
Yep. You guys, I don't know when we're recording, but that might come hopefully
before Christmas.
Yes, before Christmas. But like, it shouldn't be too long, I think.
Well, as soon as we can get it, read it, digest it, and maybe get a couple of TTS tonight, games in it, so then we can get the episode out. It will be before Christmas, I expect. So
start playing them and chat with us about it, you know?
Yeah.
As always, guys, if you've had any thoughts about what we've rambled on about for the last hour and a half or so, if you think Speed Force... any ideas for that or feedback that you want to give to Finian, who's putting it together, you know, that's great, because the more people that put stuff in, the better we can tune it. If you've got any ideas for Magic and what you want to see, or if you want to hear how the playtesting goes with the things that are just randomly thrown out,
Finian is FJ, we'll put it up on the
Arkham Rejects Discord.
Discord, just so everyone knows.
Aside from that,
Gavin Blue, obviously. And Ian's like Kosh or whatever. Kosh. How do you pronounce Finian?
Okay. Koshi.
Koshi. I don't know. Gotcha. But and Homebrew is a good spot to
talk about. I was Hellkite, but I'm now Ivan Drago.
And I know for games, not everyone has access to Tabletop Simulator. But if you want to hang out, watch, and talk, just keep an eye on the Discord. And I attempt to stream the games through Discord so you can watch on your phone. It's really easy to stream them and watch. And I mean, I never mind just random chatter in the game. Like, you don't have to be silenced thinking for 5 hours straight. Come on. So yeah, just keep an eye out, and you know, it's the place to chatter and talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. But with that, this was the Arkham Case Files, where the